Tessie is the royal root, his rally cry. Tessie is the tune they always sung. Tessie echoed April through October night, after Serenade installed the Nate and Young.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony.
Again, celebrating opening day today in baseball, but we got Final Four coming up here in Houston on Saturday. National Championships Monday. NBA, though, rolling in to its final week of the regular season before the playoffs and the seeding begin. And the Dallas Mavericks, who started middle of the pack, got Kyrie Irving, are now on the outside looking in. They're 11th in a 10-team race in the postseason. Mike Leslie joins us from WFAA-TV in Dallas on what is happening on our Progressive guest line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Visit them for a quote at progressive.com. How are you, Mike?
Good, thanks. How you guys doing?
Good. So take us back to the trade. Take us back to where were the Dallas Mavericks here's a sea of Western Conference teams. Some had strengths and weaknesses, but where were they amongst the teams that were starting to identify themselves as contenders in that conference?
I mean, I don't think when the trade was made that they were a realistic contender to win the West, but they were certainly in a better place than they are right now. Things have gone pretty sideways on them since the trade. The thing that's interesting is I think a lot of casual Mavs fans and I think maybe some of the national audience as well has looked at those two realities, where they were when the trade was made, where they are now, and kind of reflexively went, well, that's what happens when you trade for Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
And I just think it's an oversimplification, because if you actually look at what he's done and the impact he's made on the team, on the court and off, he really hasn't been the problem. The issues that they're having were present before the trade was made and just have continued to crop up even more so since the trade. And they're struggling in every way imaginable right now.
The big criticism of the trade was, look, defensively, this is going to be a step backwards, right? Dorian Finney-Smith and Spencer Dinwiddie are strong defensively. That seemed to have been projected even as the deal was being made. What were the Mavericks saying about what's something that people were saying, we don't need to see it on the court, we know this is going to happen, before the trade was really finalized? What was their thought process in addressing that deficiency?
I mean, Jason Kidd said it plainly one day after maybe the third or fourth game when Kyrie was here. Well, we're just going to have to go out and outscore teams. he kind of just shrugged off the idea of defense altogether and said, we're just going to have to go out there and outscore teams. And on a lot of levels, he's not wrong. The way that this team is now presently constituted, that's going to have to be the way that they win games if they can. They haven't been doing much of that lately, because they don't have anybody that can play defense. Trading away the guys that they did, especially Dorian Finney-Smith, was a huge detriment to their defense, and they can't rebound, but at all. They have to outscore teams, and they haven't done that enough.
So how would you describe Kyrie as an addition to the Mavericks? How has his month plus 2 months been with the team? How would you describe it?
I mean, to me, the biggest deficiency there has just been injury. He's been out of the lineup more than certainly the Mavs would have preferred since he's been here. When he's been on the court, I think he's been very effective. He made a bunch of plays last night early on in that fourth quarter to keep them in the lead. Then later in the fourth quarter, setting up teammates, he was doing most of the scoring the first 4 or 5 minutes of the fourth quarter and was keeping Dallas out in front of Philadelphia at that point. Later in the game, Luka came in. He was doing more of the scoring, and really more than anything, Luka and Kyrie were setting guys up for open looks on the outside, and nothing was falling.
Yeah.
It was not a good night for Reggie Bullock. He had a really rough shooting night last night. Tim Hardaway Jr. was good earlier in the game but struggled late. Kind of everybody basically struggled late, and they could not make but anything. And it was really a shame, because you were watching time in and time out down the floor Luka and Kyrie create opportunities, and it was clank after clank after clank after clank, and there went the lead, and there went, at some point, even their ability to get back in the game.
How has Luka, his demeanor has changed? He's getting kind of vague with some answers, but overall, I get it. I get it when you feel like you're maybe five in the standings and then you're out, you're going to get frustrated. Is there an extra level to this frustration that people are reading into?
I think, honestly, when I heard his post-game comment the other day, about how he's, you know, more frustrated than he's ever been. And, you know, the reporters in the room tried to dig a little bit deeper about, well, you know, what does that mean? And he just kind of said it's private. I think a lot of people went to, well, does that mean that he's not happy playing with Kyrie? Honestly, the first place that my head went when I heard him say that, and I don't, let me be clear before I say this, sure, I don't know that this is the case, but the first place my head went when I heard him make that comment was the issue that's been going on back and forth with his mom and all of the issues with his own branding and trying to sort all that has kind of just percolated in the background all through this season. And I don't know. That, again, I'm not certain that that's the case. That was the first thought that I had when I heard him say that, was that maybe that was what he was alluding to, that something that was off the court and personal and private that he didn't want to get into, that is distracting him from what he'd rather be focusing on.
In the in terms of basketball, in terms of, okay, you've got these two scorers, you've got the defense that's deficient on defense. You brought it up about some other guys not having good nights. How has the other players on this team, to use a term loosely here, let them down, if you will, just to be there's, if you've got a defense that's focusing on these two guys, you need some other people to chip in. Has anybody been able to help out?
Well, and see, this is like, if you look at just look at last night's box score, for example, Tim Hardaway Jr., you look at the entirety of the game, had a nice game, shot 5 of 10 from 3-point range. A lot of guys on the roster had decent nights when you look at the full 48 minutes. What has been an issue for this team, not just with their auxiliary guys, but also with Luka and Kyrie, clutch time 3-point shooting has been terrible for this team all season long. They have gotten into the late portions of games, and this is a team that has played now, I believe, 51 games that would be defined by the NBA as clutch games, games that came down to the final 5 minutes, 5 points or closer. And they've lost a preponderance of them because they can't hit big shots in big moments. They've been in a bunch of games against a bunch of really good teams, and if they could have won 5 more of those games, they're probably the 6th seed still. But they just can't seem to hit big shots in big moments, and that's not just the auxiliary guys. That is also Luka and Kyrie.
Where does this team go from here? Can they Band-Aid this thing up to get in? But even if they do, what's the future of this pairing in Dallas? Are they really hoping they can keep Kyrie on after this season?
I think the dollars and cents of it all is still leading me to believe that they have at least a decent chance of keeping Kyrie around, because they can just offer him a significant amount of money more than anybody else will be able to offer him. As for the immediacy of it, and, you know, can they band-aid it together and get into the playoffs? At this point, it's looking mathematically tough. It's not impossible, but they are very quickly running out of time here. Is it possible? Sure. Listen, the West is wide open. The West is a cluster of a bunch of mediocre teams, if we're really being honest here. There are a couple of teams up at the top, but even as good as the Kings look, I don't know. Do you trust this young team to go on a deep playoff run? I think they're certainly capable. They've shown all year their capabilities, but put this young group that's never been in this environment into a playoff setting, I don't know what that looks like if they're up against, just for the sake of argument, possibly a 7-seed Golden State Warriors team, or, you know, however the play-in shakes out. Do I think that Dallas is good enough to find themselves in that scenario as the 7th seed against Sacramento and take advantage of that? No, I don't. I think even if that were the case and they're playing a team that doesn't have that much playoff experience, they still get beat because they can't stop anybody. They can't rebound. They kind of just have to say, hey, Luka and Kyrie, go both of you score 40 and maybe we'll win. That's their only pathway. Now, those two players are both good enough to do that maybe 3 times in a series, and is it impossible for them to steal a series? No. They need every single possible thing to go right. Their margin for error is razor thin.
I got a minute, but I did want to ask you this. In a city where Jerry Jones can eat the media and get all the attention, how does Mark Cuban deal with the media? How vocal is he? Is he available after games? He's a big personality even outside the NBA. Is he like Jerry Jones? Is he looking for a microphone to talk about this team all the time?
he's not like Jerry is. With Jerry, I imagine you know just based on how you ask the question.
Yeah.
He talks every single game.
All the time.
Every single game, he is there in the hallway right outside the locker room talking to the media, holding court for sometimes 15, 20 minutes. Cuban does not go to that level. Now, he sometimes will make himself available. He's obviously very communicative via email. You send him an email, he'll get back to you, generally speaking, very quickly. He's definitely helpful and communicative, but to the level of Jerry Jones, no. Jerry's in a category by himself.
Mike, great stuff. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us this morning and help us sort out what's going on with the Mavericks. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, guys.
Mike Leslie, WFAA-TV in Dallas on the Mavericks, who have slid some more on their way down the Western Conference standings.